The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You're about to hear us get really heated as we discuss a TED Talk that we recently viewed on the cause of diabetes or how to kind of treat it. And it kind of goes into the obesity epidemic. And we get real heated about it and real passionate about it.
It strikes a chord, man.
Anyway, we talk a little bit about nutrition, and we realize lots of you have questions about nutrition. We have put together a nutrition survival guide fasting bundle. So you're going to get a guide that's really going to break down, macro breakdown for it. It's going to break down calories. It's going to help you eat properly. It's a great guide. Along with that is our intermittent fasting guide, which teaches you how to utilize intermittent fasting properly. And fasting is one of the best tools and techniques that I've come across over the last 15 years in terms of something that can really take your nutrition to the next level in terms of health, longevity, fat loss.
And you don't have to buy anything extra. All you have to do is don't eat. Just got to learn how to do it right.
You got to learn how to do it right.
It's simple, it's straightforward, and it's healthy for you
if you do it right. We break down six different ways to do it. Anyhow, nutrition survival guide, fasting guide, bundled together, massive discount, mindpumpmedia.com.
I was listening to our chest episode that we just launched recently, and I know personally, and I think...
The breasticle episode.
Chesticles.
The chesticles, yes. Yeah. Which have been huge, right? People are we're getting a lot of great feedback from all the, individual
body part related.
Yeah, the body parts and breaking them down, the do's, the don'ts, whatever about them. I've caught myself several times using the words rounded shoulders or protracted shoulder girdle. I think that we should kind of explain a little bit of that, whether we do it on the podcast or YouTube. So just remind me, Doug, maybe we do a YouTube shot of just explaining
what that means.
Yeah, what's upper cross syndrome? What's lower cross syndrome? Just because
common deviations.
It's so common. I mean, I would argue to say, at least in my experience, the thousands of people I've trained, I would say 90% have some form of it, whether it's extremely excessive.
I know every time I do an assessment, I'm going to see it.
Yeah, right.
Every single time.
Yeah. So
I think even if we just shot like a video of a row. Like a band row or a cable row, we could probably demonstrate
seated row.
Yeah, demonstrate
super identifiable
protracted shoulder girdle, and then this is what retraction and depression looks like.
Well, I think that's perfect, right? We just wrap a rubber band around something, we show them, like you said, the seated row, and then we could really attack the upper cross syndrome first. I just think it's important because it's so common,
right?
And
put the visual there for them.
Yeah, in the video or in the chest podcast, we were talking about I mentioned that, here we talk about chest and form, but really a lot of people have a really hard time getting themselves in the correct position to mechanically do the movement properly. And really that's the first phase. You get all this shit that we see on social media where everybody's talking about the next creative exercise, Oh, try this, or use a Gravitron machine for pull-ups to do your fucking chest on, or do a hammer strength machine and turn sideways, or put some bands on your fucking hammer
on
strength
your leg extension,
yeah, or on your on all these it's like, dude, majority of people can't even fucking connect correctly, and you guys are trying to get creative with movements that really are not going to give them much.
Do pull-ups for cardio,
yeah, right? So I definitely think that we should get into that a little bit more, just because this is what we deal with our clients, and let's be honest, a majority of our listeners probably deal with this and have no fucking idea.
Well,
that's
the thing. We got to remember that although we get excited about the new stuff because we've been doing this for so long, it's just like when you meet a client for the first time. It's always the same things you're showing them in the beginning, and to them it's always blowing them away because these are things that they've never heard and we just take for granted because we've learned them and we've known them for so long. So I think one of the videos we put on Mind Pump TV that's gotten so many comments was how to do a proper plank.
Right. Yeah.
Because, and this is true now, everybody does a plank wrong. I see people plank. I see people posting. I could pull up plank pictures on Instagram or Facebook, and I guarantee you 100% of them will be wrong.
Yeah.
Everybody is in an anterior pelvic tilt when they're doing the plank, or in other words, they're sticking their butt up in the air with a slight arch.
They're not engaging.
And it's all hip flexor.
Right.
It's a hip flexor plank. If you do the other way, you got your core.
Well, and backing that up, you know, I just mentioned upper cross syndrome and lower. That's lower cross syndrome, right? So it's very common for people to have that anterior pelvic tilt when they get down in that position. So you have to address that first before you even can really do a plank properly.
Well, what they don't realize is they think that their doctor or whatever saying strengthen your core because your lower back has problems because your core is weak.
Right.
So then they go do a plank.
And they do it in the end.
And what they don't realize is they're reinforcing the imbalance. They're strengthening the problem.
It's such a great point. And before I even lay somebody down on the plank, I have them stand up. And I just show them what anterior pelvic tilt, posterior pelvic tilt, and then neutral looks like so they can feel that standing up. And it looks funny when we're standing up there because I thrust my pelvis forward and say, okay.
Hot chick.
This is your
normal person.
Yeah, this is weirdo. Your posterior, your pelvic tilt. And then you stick your ass out all excessive. And you say, this is the anterior. And then you go, now find the middle of that. And then and it's funny when you get somebody and you have them mirror you and try and find what neutral hips look like. It's awkward for them. It's awkward, and they're working to do that. And that's because they have major imbalances. So they need to understand that first before they get down and they progress into a plank position and now have to suspend their weight.
Dude, it's there was a meme on Instagram that destroyed me. And it was a picture of...
I know what you're talking about.
It's like a side view of like lordosis. So lumbar lordosis, right? And on the top it says... Do you got a bad chick or does she just have lumbar lordosis?
Have lumbar lordosis.
Which is just,
she a bad bitch.
It's the, you know, when the girls on the Instagram, they stick their ass out super hard and they're like,
super arch.
I dated.
And it's like, that's a posterior deviation, my friend.
Dude, sorry. I dated this model that was like this, right? And everybody thought she had this badass ass, dude, that she was bad. Now, dude, I was hitting it. So I know what it really looked like. You know what I'm saying? So she didn't at all. She just had this excessive
first
tilt.
First eye count.
Unbelievably excessive tilt. In fact, she had a tiny little flat ass, but it looked like she had this bad ass.
We could stand straight up and do doggy style.
Well, and let me tell you this, you're right. And she had major low back pain all the time and dealing with all this stuff. And it was just like trying to get her to, and you know what? Trying to get her to fix it was like, fuck no, people love
this
that.
This is
on
me, man.
Yeah. Well, they get complimented on it, right? Yeah. You tell someone like that, they need to tuck that pelvic in and oh God, then her ass just disappears. Well,
dude, and then they wear high heels that encourages, this by the way, is why high heels make you look more attractive. Yeah. It encourages anterior pelvic tilt. It makes your butt stick out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you flexes your calves, right? You're in plantar flexion, and then you rotates the hips out, so hamstrings are tight, fucking calves are tight, ass is rotated out. Like,
I feel like we should hold a clinic for strippers and all these Instagram chicks. Like, hey, we'll help you
single-handedly ruin their business.
Yeah, look normal again.
What I really want to talk about is the video you just recently
us. It's mind blowing.
You know, and our carbs fucking killing us, dude.
That's a good question.
Are carbs killing us?
Whoa.
And you
well
know,
so with the video I actually posted it on our Facebook page, our Mind Pump Facebook page,
our private forum.
Yeah, no, not on the private forum. I posted it on our regular Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And let me see what the name of the video is so that you can look it up yourself.
Well, why don't you just tell them where the name of our Facebook is?
And well, it's just Mind Pump. You just go to Facebook.
Mind Pump Show.
Oh, Mind Pump
Show. Yeah.
On Facebook. New guy.
It doesn't say Mind Pump Show when I look it up.
Just
it,
go.
Is it Mind Pump Show
is,
still?
Yes.
Okay, Mind Pump Show.
Yeah, research Mind Pump Show on Facebook. Everyone's got a fucking
Facebook,
bro.
The video, I posted it a few days ago. It's called Reversing Type 2 Diabetes Starts with Ignoring the Guidelines. And then I wrote that the overconsumption of carbohydrates and the underconsumption of natural and healthy fats are easily the main cause of our modern disease epidemic. This is 100% true. Now, the way the video opens, and this is a doctor that specializes in treating obesity and in treating diabetes and insulin resistance. And she comes out and says, and at first I get a little bit irritated because she comes out and says, you know, people who are overweight, you got lots of obesity, and all of us believe that it's
their fault.
It's just their fault. Like, all they need to do is have a little bit more self-control and they won't be so obese. And then she starts to highlight the statistics. Here's the statistics. We know for a fact that over half, okay, So a majority of people are overweight in America, and a good chunk of those people are considered obese. So not just overweight, but obese.
Right.
About what was the number? 40 or 50% of Americans, 50%, have some form of insulin resistance.
Yes,
this is what I so fascinating.
Go ahead.
Well, I found that what she said, that a majority of these people, we don't even know that they are on the course for this, because we don't test for that right now. Right,
it's
now
like the pre you know,
We test for blood sugar, right? And what we don't realize, and I didn't even realize this till she said this, that, you know, let's say I'm somebody who's young, teenage years, and I'm just fucking excessively eating candy and Slurpees and Cokes and everything, right? Just
French fries, whatever.
You know, and in your head, you know, you exercise, you move a lot, so maybe you're not even obese yet, but what you're training the body to do is to continue, because the blood sugar spikes every time you do it, to release more and more insulin, mm-hmm. and your insulin levels are becoming elevated and elevated and elevated and elevated over years. And because you don't have an obesity problem.
And you don't even have a blood sugar problem.
Yeah, you don't have, because exactly, you're testing totally fine, but you don't know that you're training the body to can increase these insulin levels, that holy shit, you could be somebody who looks healthy and normal in your teens and 20s, but because of these habits of consuming like this, you're training this at this. So it's, what did she call it? The
pre-diabetes.
Well,
here's, you know, what's okay. So my big epiphany from this is basically that she was able to simplify so many, like so much of the epidemic of obesity in this country is all related to insulin resistant. Like how we are all like how this insulin resistant like process, like how that was contributing to, you know, everybody's obesity.
Well, I mean, it goes even further than that, because you have people with pre-diabetes and diabetes who aren't even overweight.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a big percentage of people who have diabetes who have no weight problem. So here's the problem that we are currently having with this obesity epidemic, is that we're viewing obesity as the cause of disease, when in reality, the obesity is a symptom of disease. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Can you get more problems as you become more and more overweight? Yes, but I will also use this as a fantastic example. You could take two people with a 20-pound weight difference between them with a similar frame, and the person who's got less 20 pounds lower has far worse health than the person who's 20 pounds heavier. So there is a fluctuation there in body fat that you can have and be very healthy or unhealthy, and it doesn't matter if you're fatter or not as fat. Now, besides that, yes, obesity does contribute.
Pause there for a second, because that's a big fucking eye-opener right there. You know, for you to say that, you mean to tell me somebody could be carrying 20, same body types, same age, same everything, they could be carrying 20 pounds more weight on their frame than I am, and could technically be healthier than
right. That's absolutely.
That's a little mind-blowing when you think about that, right?
Yep. Because it's absolutely true. And like I said, if we look at, so the reason why we focus so heavily on obesity is because obesity is such a visual representation
exactly.
of what's happening. Like I can walk around and I can see, you know, in my lifetime how much fatter people have gotten. I know by my parents what they say, and my grandparents by how different it's gotten. I can go to other countries, undeveloped countries, and see that there's a big difference in obesity in developed nations. So it's very visual representation, but really we got to look at the root cause. What's causing this? Now, you talked about insulin. Here's what insulin does. Insulin is raised when we eat carbohydrates, and to a lesser extent when we eat proteins. And it very, very, very little to no insulin comes out or is released when we eat fat.
Right.
What insulin does is it comes out and it tells the cells to uptake glucose and along that maybe some amino acids.
It's a regulator and a hormone.
It's a hormonal regulator. If I'm constantly making my insulin rise all the time by eating and over-consuming carbohydrates, my body becomes desensitized to insulin. That's what insulin resistance is. What it means is that signal that my body's getting from insulin, it starts to ignore it a little bit. And so what my body does is it then releases more insulin. And then over time, it releases more insulin. And this process can take decades.
It escalates.
It can take decades. And the truth is, you could have where, let's say you're, you know, 18 years old and your body's using so much insulin, and now you're 30 years old and your body's using three times as much insulin to remove the same amount of glucose out of your blood, your blood sugar will test normal. You'll go to the doctor, they'll test you and be like, no, you're fine. But what they don't see is that the amount of insulin that you're needing to release with each of these carbohydrate meals has now tripled since the age of 18. And over time, that's what causes the problems. Here's another fact that really blew my fucking mind, was that the single largest contributor to coronary disease, to heart disease, is not cholesterol, is not fat intake. The number one largest contributor, over 40% of cases, can go directly be linked to insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. So really, if we look at the modern epidemic, the modern Western world's epidemic of health epidemics, because we're seeing right now, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is a huge epidemic. It's so big that it has the capability to literally destroy and cripple our economy, which will then cripple our society. So this is a big fucking deal. It has the power to do all that. And what we're doing is we're ignoring the cause, because when we look at
why are we ignoring? It's a $250 billion fucking industry.
It's
bro.
Huge.
$250 billion is being made off of not fixing the problem.
Treating
it's a conflict of interest for them. To tell you otherwise.
Dude,
right?
She made a comment that I was just like, holy shit. Like, she talks about right now the ADA, right?
That's the American Diabetes Association.
Okay. So right now the prescription for when you come in and you have the diabetes is actually to give you medication. The medication they give you requires you to eat carbohydrates, or else you get side effects from that medication, which is only feeding the fucking root cause of how you got in the place that you are right now.
Spinning your wheels.
Mind blowing. Why? Because we make more money keeping you fucking sick, bro.
We do, and because the information that we've been taught about fat intake was based on no real science. There were no real randomized control studies to show that fat intake is what is causing our problems. Mm-hmm. What's causing our problems is our overconsumption of carbohydrates, in particular processed carbohydrates. And I'll tell you what, go into your grocery store, look at your grocery store. If we took all the food in your grocery store and turned it into macros, which macro would be represented the most?
Carbohydrates.
By far. They're cheap, and they're cheap partially because we subsidize the shit out of them. When you eat a carbohydrate, your insulin rises, your body removes that glucose, you're hungry again, so it promotes you to eat. It makes you want to eat more, so they're very
addictive. Explain to people what subsidized means, because a lot of people don't understand what that means.
Subsidized just means that your tax dollars, without you, you have no choice, of course, like all your taxes, go to these mega corporations that grow corn and, you know, GMO wheat corn and, or wheat and these types of things, because at one point we believed that it was in the best interest of the government to promote the growth of these high calorie, density foods, because there were issues with, we wanted to make sure people had enough food. So billions of dollars go to growing corn, for example, which is why products made with corn are so cheap. If you look at soda, a can of soda 50 years ago, it was sweetened with sugar, cane sugar. Mm-hmm. Today, it's almost impossible to find a soda sweetened with cane sugar. It's sweetened with corn syrup.
High fructose corn syrup.
And the reason why it's sweetened with corn syrup is because we've subsidized corn, it's far cheaper.
Well, what are some examples of this? Corn, flour, wheat, what else?
I mean, those are really the big ones.
So
wheat and corn are two big.
Soy.
Soy, yeah. Corn and wheat are huge.
So when you think about that these guys are responsible, they're making billions of dollars, right? And they got their hands in the government. What do you think, okay? To back up on everything that we've said already, what do you think the message, the studies that are getting done, who are they going to benefit? If these are the companies that are fucking funding,
who's
going
to pay for all the studies to happen even?
Yes. Most of this information, if who can afford to hire a team of 20 doctors and scientists to run control studies and group, who can't? The average Joe who's trying to get out good information, we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to pay a whole fucking study group and pay doctors and scientists to put together all these theories and ideas. No. But you know who can? A company that's making billions of fucking dollars and is funded by the government. So that's what's so hard about what we do, is trying to get out a message out there. We're getting fucking drowned.
Well, it's the same problem with academia coming in and having this over authoritative position, just because, you know, they've placed themselves in that position because of the way that it's structured. So now this person has all this authority because, you know, they've gone through a specific type of schooling and gathered a specific type of knowledge. But, you know, there's agenda there. You know, there's the information that they have is definitely, you know, very centralized to you know, the academic world.
Well the original study, or the original, I say study, I believe, Doug, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, was it Dr. Ansel Keys that came out with the original? I believe so. He did it, I think he called it the 7-country study, in which he analyzed countries and their fat intake.
I thought he took black and white photos.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ansel Adams.
Yeah. So he came out.
I know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Only Doug got
Yosemite.
The joke.
Yosemite.
So he came out with he called it a 7-country
history
study.
Jokes.
And he.
Sorry.
He related it to the fat intake to health and showed that the countries with the lowest fat intake were the healthiest. He got international acclaim. I believe he won a Nobel Prize for it. The president of the United States at the time,
so ironic,
made him like, this is the guy we need to listen to.
Yeah.
What we don't realize is he actually omitted several countries out of that study that did not fit that model, because these other countries ate lots
How
of
convenient.
Fat and were very healthy.
It's crazy that someone could win a Nobel Prize for
that. And he lost. And now at the same time, there were other scientists who were going against him. There was one British scientist, and I can't remember his name, and he was coming out with the opposite, saying, no, you're wrong. You're going to promote, you know, lots of problems and obesity. And they not only shut this guy down, but they created this campaign of, you know, where they basically discredited this guy so poorly that he
gave him like a scarlet letter and shit.
Yeah. Like he lost quite a bit, in terms of credibility, but it turned out that he was very, very right. Now, if you look at, you know, what's happened in Western societies, pay attention, you know, the obesity rate among children was almost non-existent in 1960 and 1970. And I'm talking about, I'm not talking about poor kids. I'm talking about middle-class children who have access to food. Mm-hmm. Today, it's a huge percent, something like 20% of children are obese. When you look at adult obesity and diabetes, by the way, type 2 diabetes used to be not called type 2 diabetes. People don't realize this. When I first started getting my certification, they referred to type 2 diabetes as adult onset diabetes. That was the name of it.
Yeah.
Because
I remember that.
The only people that got it were adults, and they got it because of poor eating habits growing up.
Now kids are experiencing
this. Change it to type 2 now because kids get it now. So you can't call it, you know, you don't want to call it adult onset when you've got children with it.
Right.
This all happened right at the same time our own government guidelines came out and said, cut your fat intake, increase your complex carbohydrate intake, increase your grain intake. Look at the food pyramid.
I was just going to say
that.
It's
just hilarious because, like, dude, I mean, she made like a couple like really standout points for me. And, you know, it's the non-essential piece, right? Whatever. Like, there's two essential macronutrients, fat and protein.
Like, and what do you mean by essential? Like, your body needs them.
Right. Your body needs to have them. It can't produce it. So therefore, you know, I have to go out and eat protein and fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get zero from carbohydrates.
Right. Your
body already does produce glucose.
It already produces glucose already.
It'll produce all the glucose it needs from protein that you eat, and even some from fats. But if you don't eat fat and if you don't eat protein, you'll die. If you don't eat carbohydrates, you'll be okay for the rest of your life. So I don't want to come across as demonizing carbohydrates, but I do want to do is I want to be very clear that I firmly believe, and the evidence now is very strongly pointing in the direction of, the health epidemic that we're experiencing, that we've been in now for the last few decades, is directly a direct result of the overconsumption of carbohydrates. Yeah. Period. End of story. That's where it starts, and that's where a lot of it ends. That's where we're seeing all this problem. And you know what? They'll look and say, people are also eating more calories, and they are. But let's also take a step back. One hormone does a very good job of making you hungry, and that's insulin. Mm-hmm. Eating carbohydrates is appetite stimulating. Eating fats is not. In fact, eating fats is very satiating. One of the first comments I get from people who dramatically reduce their carbohydrate intake and bump up their fat intake is that they just feel full. Like their appetite is just, you know, it doesn't come up like it used to when they ate carbohydrates.
You know, you made a comment about not demonizing carbohydrates. Well, fuck that, dude. I want to demonize it. Like, I feel like it should be looked upon as that, because 90% of it is fucking garbage. Well, it's
just looked as minuscule in comparison.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about fruits and vegetables, can't even say that right. I mean, that's it, dude. Like, everything else is, there's little to no benefit. I know people right now going, oh, whatever, there's benefits to this. Most of that shit's tainted, and we don't need it.
Yeah, we don't need it.
So, you know, I don't like, and I know, do I have carbs? Yes. I just talked on an episode recently where, you know, I had pizza and I had this. But you better damn well believe when I do stuff like that, I understand what I'm doing. You know, like, this is not ideal. No different than somebody who decides that they're going to do a line of Coke or fucking drink 10
beers.
Well,
people just get defensive about it. You know what I mean? People get defensive because they like to include that in their diet. And I understand that. But
it's because they're addicted,
look at the reality.
Bro.
Yeah, look at the reality. You don't need it. If you don't need it, then why are you so defensive towards it? Like, why do you have to have it?
The same thing. Okay, when someone, you know, and I know it's extreme, right? I know I piss people off when I give the cocaine and the alcohol and the pills and all this analogy comparing to carbohydrates, but the same attachment that those people get to those drugs in their body that they feel they need, they have to have them, is the same thing that goes, that process goes with people that with carbohydrates. They introduce them at such a young age and they continue to ramp them up, and the insulin just keeps going and going and going and creates more and more and more of a craving for it. And then you tell that same person who's been doing that for 10, 15, 20, 30 years of their life that, excuse me, sir, you don't need that ever again in your life. And in fact, if you got rid of it out of your life, you'd have a much better life and it'd be healthier and feel better. And all these things and symptoms that you're dealing with would probably start to go away. You know, that's a fucking huge thing for someone to look themselves in the mirror and say, yeah, I'm no longer going to do this, because they're an addict and they don't
even.
And that's for step one of addiction, is realizing that you were addicted to something.
Right. Well, I here's the thing. Like, so many, it's the way people eat now. Many cultures now are based on many of these carbohydrates, okay? Now, you got to ask yourself why. Well, a long time ago, humans went through the agricultural revolution, and it solved a lot of problems. It did. Like, before the agricultural revolution, people died of starvation all the time. After the agricultural revolution, like, our food is here. We don't have to move all the time. We can grow it. And there were some good things that came from it, but there were also some unintended consequences as a result. And so a lot of these cultures, for example, you look at my family's from Italy. Everybody's like, pasta and bread, that's so Italian. Actually, it's not. If we go back 500 years, it wasn't a huge part of Italian food. That's more of a recent, you know, relatively recent development.
500 years ago, they weren't eating a big ass loaf of bread and pasta and
it wasn't this big thing that they were, you know, feasting all the time. I mean, you know, they would give poor people.
I don't think I've ever seen pizza on Game of Thrones, dude. For sure,
But you know, my
Game of Thrones is reality.
Yeah, and I mean, it's important to note all that. And are there are definitely
historically accurate.
There are different ways to eat to be healthy. But here's what you want to consider. Carbohydrates are very easily overconsumed. That's why you need to be careful with them. I'm not saying don't eat them and avoid them completely. There's a lot of you listening right now who, probably half of you, who don't have insulin issues. You're very active. You're very healthy. Your insulin is probably at a normal level. You don't have to worry about this rising insulin levels. And to you, I say, you can eat those carbohydrates, just don't overconsume them.
I suggest you look at them differently now.
That's it.
Yeah. That's the point that I think I want to drive home, because, like, even for myself, like, I didn't consider the fact, like, a lot of this information is still new. Like, even the whole revolution of the revolutionary idea that fat isn't the problem. You know, like that's still something people are trying to digest. So, you know, you got to start, you know, paying attention to the studies that are out there and like what is real and what is truth and what you need to nourish your body and to fuel yourself properly.
Right. And, you know, one thing that the doctor said in the video was that really what insulin resistance is carbohydrate toxicity. Which makes perfect sense.
Very well said, I think.
If your body has issues processing and dealing with carbohydrates to where it needs to continue to raise its production of insulin in order to manage it, you are reaching higher and higher levels of carbohydrate toxicity. Now, what are some of the problems associated with carbohydrate toxicity? This is before you become pre-diabetic. Inflammation is one of them. It's actually not good for the brain. It can cause some neurotoxicity. It can cause issues with athletic performance and cause issues with sleep. Does it cause issues with other hormones? Well, yes. Yes, it does. Do you think that rising and rising insulin levels, even before any signs show up with blood sugar or never show up with blood sugar, do you think that rising insulin will affect other hormones in the body?
Of course. Mm-hmm.
We know for a fact that growth hormone and insulin are inversely related.
That's it.
The higher your insulin is, the lower your growth hormone is. And so now you're losing some of the benefit and the health benefits of normal growth hormone levels. And again, hormones, when they're at optimal levels, are good for you. When they're off, they become bad. This is any fucking hormone. I've testosterone, I can have healthy levels, or I can take mega doses of testosterone and I can have, you know, bad effects. Estrogen, cortisol. Everybody talks about cortisol being the stress hormone. Oh, everybody avoid cortisol. Let me tell you something right now. If I eliminated cortisol out of your body, you would be very, very unhealthy. You actually need cortisol to do a lot of important things in the body. So, and the same thing is true with insulin, just too much of it can cause these problems. And so let's say you're the other half. Let's say you're the other half with rising insulin levels where you're starting to get into that insulin resistance stage. Well, what can you do for yourself? Eliminate the macronutrient that requires insulin to be pumped out. Eliminate carbohydrates. It's actually that simple. In fact, and people, you know, they'll cringe at hearing this, but things like, you know, pre-diabetes and diabetes type 2, you know, type 2 diabetes, it can be managed with medications. It can be managed with an insulin pump, but it can be reversible by simply eliminating carbohydrate intake and even protein intake to a lesser extent by lowering that just a little bit. Because, again, one of the points she makes on there is that people mistaken low or no carb with extremely high protein, which is another big mistake. It's not. It's just high fat.
We pride ourselves a lot on any time that our paradigm is shattered. And I love to share with you guys when I feel like I've been fucking up or not doing something correctly. And, you know, something's like this. We just recently, like, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, we went through the whole ketogenic process. And it completely changed my relationship with food and in general, or in being specific with fats. And, you know, I used to brag about being able to consume 400 to 600 grams of carbohydrates daily and not get fat because I was training hard. I was doing all these things. I kept a low fat diet. And in reality, I was on course to do the same thing that we're discussing right now. And just because I'm not showing signs of obesity, because my blood sugar is in check right now, I'm thinking to myself, I'm totally fine. But in reality, I'm really just continuing to elevate these insulin levels. And will I be training the way I'm training at 60, 70 years old? I don't know. I hope so. But, you know, am I going to have this major uphill battle when I get older because I've been training my body to...
Yeah, just been stacking it up.
Yeah, right? So now I went from the guy who used to consume 400 or 600 grams of carbs, and I never touched 400. 400 would be crazy, like what I did the other day with the pizza, like where I let myself to go the high, where that was a normal day for me to consume that much. Now a normal day of carbs is only 100 to maybe tops 200 grams of carbs. Majority of that coming from fruits and vegetables, and then the rest of my calories really coming from fat. And that was a huge shift for me because our whole fitness career, every diet you guys ever probably wrote 10 years ago or even less, maybe 5 years ago,
was centered around carbs.
60 to 65% of the intake was carbohydrates. Crazy. You know, extremely low fat, and then we're going after protein.
Oh my God. And then, like, you know, dietitians and nutritionists out there that would come at you if you didn't start with that in mind. Like,
right.
60%. Like, if you got away from that many carbs, you were like shunned.
Well, I mean, so check this out. So this just brought something up in my mind that I remembered. So I keep up with a lot of these longevity experts, and there's a whole new category of study where scientists are trying to literally cure the problem of aging. There's like Ray Kurzweil, who's this brilliant scientist. He works for Google now, believe it or not. But he studies longevity, and he thinks that we'll be solving the problem, you know, within the next 100 years of how we can prevent the aging process, because they're viewing aging as this process of slow, you know, progressive disease, and that's why you end up dying. And some of these guys, including him, and actually a lot of these guys, are recommending that people on a regular basis take metformin. Do you guys know what metformin is?
I don't.
Metformin is it's a drug. The trade name is, I believe it's glucophage or glucophage. It is a first-line treatment for type 2 diabetes. Now, what it does is it reduces the amount of glucose that is produced by the liver. And what they're finding is when they do studies with this particular drug, that it definitely lowers blood sugar and it helps control it, but it also has evidence of preventing cardiovascular disease and even cancer. and now this
let
is
me, a, let me help you with your blood sugar and give you some cancer.
Get a drug.
No. What I mean is it has all these health benefits, but it's a drug that's doing this, and all of this drug is doing is what you can do naturally.
Stop eating carbs with.
Well, yeah, so you just reduce, like, don't overconsume carbohydrates. And so, really what I would want listeners to take away from this episode isn't to go keto. Keto is not for everybody. It's not to go super low carb. It's to view your macronutrients in this order. Mm-hmm. Look at fat first, then look at your proteins, and then your carbohydrates. That's how you should be viewing the types of foods that you're eating.
If you're still hungry, you know, sprinkle in a little bit of carbs.
Let's eat that way. How many of you look at your plate of food and go, I'm going to eat the fat first, then I'm going to eat the protein,
right,
and then whatever's left over, I'm going to have carbohydrates. And then when I do, I'm going to shoot for like leafy greens and fruit and things like that as my first choice of carbohydrates. Just that alone, like, fuck counting. Fuck all this, like, all getting crazy details.
Yeah, watch that suppress a lot of your, you know, that feeling like that I have to have that, you know, that sweet or, you know, whatever it is that's driving you towards a carb.
Yeah, we put so much. I mean, we have like this 50-50 like listener base. Like, you have these like really advanced like competitors and stuff like that like want crazy detail of how many grams of this should I have, how many grams of that. Then we have the other half that are like just people trying to make better, healthier choices. Like, so I feel like it's so important that we address both. And, you know, let me tell you, like, being a competitor and somebody who isn't accounting, do it. Fuck, you don't need to. Like, just start with that. Just start with try to stay away from all these crazy carbohydrates and target your fat first, then target your protein, and then what you have left over. Try and, if you are at all going to fill it with any carbs, you know, target your leafy greens and vegetables and then fruit, like, and do it in that order.
Dude,
it'd be so easy.
I'll tell you what happened this weekend to me when, like I said, there are times when I'll enjoy myself with friends and family and, you know, nourish relationships, and I'll eat what's there, not because it's about the food, but because it's about, you know, the people that are around me. But, you know, I'll eat these foods. Let's, you know, like if I ate something with sugar or I ate lots of starch, I am so aware of how my body responds because I pay attention to it. These are things that I ignored in the past. These are things that everybody ignores. But I'm so aware now that when I eat these foods, I will eat big bowl of pasta with some bread, and then I'll finish off my meal with my meat and vegetables or whatever. I'll sit there at the table stuffed. Like, what I mean by stuffed is that I have the physical feeling of being stuffed, but I'll have the emotional and the, you know, chemical craving for more sugar and carbohydrates. I'll literally be sitting there knowing I'm full. Like, I can feel my stomach is very full.
But definitely can get some ice cream down.
Yes, my stomach hurts because it's full. And yet, I still want to eat more food. This rarely happens to me when I don't eat those carbohydrates. I can easily stop before I get to that point because the signal has been told to my body, you don't need any more. Instead, when I ate those starches, insulin went up, removed the sugar from my blood.
Excellent.
Now I'm craving more food.
Excellent point. You're sending the wrong signal to your body.
Could you imagine? So, you know, when you go to a restaurant, of course, this is, what do they serve for
bread?
First?
They give you bread at your table. Imagine they give you a thing of just fat.
Yeah. Here's some bacon.
Here's some avocados.
I'm not really interested in the entree.
Wouldn't that be great though? Wouldn't that be great if they did? They brought that out and they served you with avocado or served you with slices of bacon and that's all it was. That would be great.
Yeah, dude. You'd be like, oh, I don't know if I want to eat them.
Right? Then everyone's dinner would be a salad. Did you ever notice that, by the way?
Just
have a salad.
They give, and I don't know if there's any studies about this. I would love to see one, but I would bet my left nut that giving people free bread.
You want both.
Restaurants that give free bread. Probably sell more food than restaurants that don't.
Of course.
I bet you anything, because the people are eating the bread, and then all of a sudden the appetite goes up, and now they're like, you know, oh, are you ready to order now? And they're like, fuck yes,
I am. It's just like when you drop the dessert like menu, like right when people are still eating, so that way they put it in their mind already, and then they always make room.
Yeah, I'll say this 100 times over. If we want to solve the health epidemic that we are having in this country and in most Western nations that we're starting to see in other Western nations, it is the overconsumption of carbohydrates, and in particular, processed long shelf life carbohydrates. And if you want to make one change, just one change in your diet, one change in your relationship to food, that will make a massive impact. It's take those carbohydrates and move them to the bottom of your list in terms of the order of macronutrients of importance, and stick to foods that are real, that are natural. Here's the funny thing too. She made this hilarious point. If something says all natural on it, like if you have to ask yourself if it's all natural, it's not. Like you should look at a food and
know.
Oh, that's natural. Yeah. Rather than looking at a box and be like, I wonder how natural this particular food is. You know, stick to those whole natural foods. Think about your fats. Think about vegetables. Think about proteins. And then at the end of all that, you're still hungry or whatever. Maybe have some of the, you know, carbohydrates. But watch what happens. If you just make that one change, I think you'll be pretty blown away at how many of your, weight loss problems get solved simply by doing that one thing right there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, we may give you a free t-shirt. Also go to Mind Pump TV. That's on YouTube. It's our Mind Pump TV channel. We're posting all kinds of awesome videos
daily,
on exercise demos and, you know, advice on nutrition. And we'll be posting even more videos on all that stuff. It's pretty cool. Check it out. And also go to mindpumpmedia.com to check out all of the programs that we offer if you need more specialized coaching.
Check it out.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.